Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Congratulations on getting through your work week. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into the top sports stories of the day in Kansas City. But there is one story that has dominated the headlines and I think will dominate the headlines for weeks to come. From Brett McMurphy, who you guys are going to hear from coming up in about 15 minutes. Texas and Oklahoma will notify the Big 12 next week of its intentions to leave the conference, sources tell Stadium. Quote, the feeling is they will notify the SEC next week to officially apply for league membership in the Southeastern Conference, a source told the Stadium. I believe, based on all the report and also where we are in the rumor mill, you don't make a decision like this over the last 7 to 10 days. This has been a conversation that has been going on for quite some time. And once they felt like the deal had reached the red zone is when it officially got leaked and brought to our attention. We're talking about not million-dollar moves. We're talking about billion-dollar moves. I think that Texas is the biggest and most powerful athletic department in the country. Oklahoma's strong. They're probably in the top 10. But we're talking about two massive football powers, two massive donor bases, and two quote-unquote anchor tenants in your conference that are about to leave one conference and join what will now be the strongest, most successful, richest, most successful athletic amateur conference that has ever been created. I think we are headed towards a scenario in which the SEC has 16, the Big Ten tries to pick up a couple more members. I think Kansas will be included in that. The Pac-12 will then look at a school like Oklahoma State, very rich donor base. They'll add a school like that. And I think we are less than a presidential cycle away from seeing four massive conferences with huge television deals, huge streaming deals. And we are headed towards a scenario in which they have enough power, enough influence. Everybody is on board to break off from the NCAA and do our own thing. I think we are headed towards a scenario in which the haves and the have-nots is as big as it's ever been in college athletics. But let's not kid ourselves. That's always been the case. The Power Five and the other schools are unequal. It's a lot better to be in the Big 12 or the SEC than to be in the MAC or the Mountain West Conference. That is only going to get bigger and stronger. The bigger and stronger these conferences get by the properties that they add and the money that they are then paid out by ESPN. This is happening because ESPN is the biggest shareholder in SEC football. The moment that ESPN made the decision to buy the SEC away from CBS, they became the biggest shareholder in the SEC. And what's in the SEC's best interest from a television standpoint? That's what ESPN cares about. You sitting down in front of your television, subscribing to cable, subscribing to YouTube TV or Hulu or whatever you get television from, and watching live sports. When you think about it, there is only one thing in this society that all of us watch, and it's football. We watch the NFL. We watch major college football. There is nothing else on television that we all watch. Now, I'd argue Marvel movies are at that point, and Star Wars is at that point. But in terms of live television, that's it. Not everybody watches You've Got Talent or Dancing with the Stars or The Masked Singer. Very popular television shows. They're not doing major football numbers. So if you're an executive at a television station, we're going to try to make those properties as strong and as viable as they can be, and that's what's happening now. It's also not that surprising to me that these moves and conversations happened immediately once things started to shift with COVID. So we saw the report earlier today, Rob, that these conversations have been happening for 6 months. We've been able to get vaccinated basically for almost 6 months if you want to. You've had the opportunity to go to a Hy-Vee, a CVS, the Walgreens, a Walmart, and get the vaccine for what, 4 to 5 months? So once the vaccine became available, they started having conversations of, hey, we got to get this money back. If you're in Baton Rouge or in Tuscaloosa or in Austin, Texas or Norman, your economy runs off amateur football. And last year, people weren't traveling. You couldn't have full attendance. So your 100,000-seat stadium, your 90,000-seat stadium, now you can only do 25. You can only do 30. You were making tens and hundreds of millions of dollars off amateur football. You were making that money. So you look at your book and you notice a major deficit. And then you start to think to yourself, how can we get this money back? If we're $80 million, $90 million in the hole, can we get that with our current television deal with the Big 12? No, probably not. Hey, well, what's out there? What's viable for us? Oh, we can go to the SEC? They'll take us? They think that we can make $76 million a season off making this move, and then whenever we re-up again for our television deal, we can make even more money? Cool, let's put that in motion. That's what happened here. So on one side of this, I say this as a fan of a team who's good. From a competition standpoint, this is probably not good for Missouri. They couldn't beat Texas or Oklahoma in the Big 8. They couldn't beat them in the Big 12. I'm going to guess they probably won't beat them in the SEC either. But there is a different level of comfort you can exhale knowing that your team is good. My team's not going to be left out. Sure, they probably won't go to the college football playoff. They weren't really doing that under the old scenarios. But they'll matter. And right now, it is a race for relevance. K-State fans, I love you. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. But you guys are in danger of being left out. You ain't got nothing to really offer the major conferences. Missouri does. Two major metropolitan areas for television, St. Louis and Kansas City. Kansas has one major market. Kansas has a much bigger market share than K-State does where we live. Their basketball program is also substantially better than yours and a true national brand. People will turn in to watch Kansas play at Michigan. People will turn in to watch Kansas play at Ohio State or Kansas at Indiana. That means something. It matters. It has cachet. Regardless of what happens, Missouri's going to be fine. They're already in the club. They're already in the secret society. Kansas, I think they're going to be good. You've got the Kansas City television market. You also have arguably the best college basketball program in the country. That's viable. So you'll go to the Big Ten. You'll go to the Pac-12. You will not be left out of this massive conference. If you K-State, I'd be really worried. Because at this point, you got to think about it like a game of Saw. You guys have seen Saw before? Rob, I know you've never seen it before. In this game, only one person can save their life. You got to choose who you're going to save. KU is not looking out for you, K-State. Tomorrow, if they get the opportunity to jump ship, they will do it. They will leave you behind and let you figure it out for yourself. That's what Oklahoma is doing to Oklahoma State. They are going to leave you to figure it out. That's what Texas is doing to all the other Texas schools, not named A&M. Hey, Baylor. Hey, Tech. Hey, TCU. We're going to do this. You guys be cool. So if I was a K-State fan, I'd be worried. I'm not here to fearmonger. I'm not here to dance on the grave because my team is in one of these deals. I'm just telling you the landscape. You don't have a anchor television market if you're K-State. You're not elite at anything. I don't really know what you add to a major conference. Maybe the Pac-12 picks you up, and that'd be cool. I would love it if that happened. It would kind of suck from a viewing standpoint that now we got to watch K-State play Washington State at 11 o'clock at night, but that's what we got to do. But I'd be really worried because the revolution is happening right before your eyes. Name, image, and likeness, the first super conference. If the SEC gets Oklahoma and Texas like they're supposed to next week, that is a super conference. You got Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia. And that's not even counting like Tennessee, whose stadium seats 100,000. That's not including them in it. That's a super conference. I didn't count A&M. That's a super conference. And the other conferences will certainly answer. And you got to wonder, how do you fit in a model that has super conferences? So that's the biggest story right now is conference realignment. But there's more, though, Rob. Let's hit it. Oh, there's more?
Before we get to this, man, this is not breaking news, but I'm going to play the breaking news sounder.
Oh, my goodness.
Kansas basketball has put out a statement.
Oh.
According to Kansas head coach Bill Self, he has tested positive for COVID-19 and will not be on the road this weekend to see recruits. He is, however, fully vaccinated and feels good, but it is worth noting, Bill Self has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, well, sounds like he's going to be okay. Sounds like he's fine. You know what? That counts as breaking news.
But that's, we'll get into the hits now.
That's the first hit. From the
beginning. Yeah, that was hit one. Self has COVID.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, the second hit or the first of the day also involves COVID, as earlier today, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid spoke to the media. He said that 90% of your Kansas City Chiefs are vaccinated. He was asked, though, by Nate Taylor, who's now on the team here at 6'10", what does he have to say to those other 10%?
Yeah, listen, I don't have anything to say one way or the other with the 10%. They know the guys that have been vaccinated and haven't been vaccinated. They know all the coaches have been. So it's not anything that I'm hoping that they all stay safe. That's what I hope. And that they don't get the virus. And that's most important in my eyes. However it's done, let's keep people safe. And that's where I'm at.
Carrington, we saw a lot of huffing and puffing from Bills players and Jalen Ramsey and many more over the last couple of days. Do you like the system the NFL has, which is essentially get vaccinated or get in trouble?
I like the system because it promotes people to become vaccinated. I understand that we all don't feel the same way about the vaccine. I get it. You're an adult. You don't want to take the vaccine. I can't really stop you from making that decision. All I can do is encourage you to do so, tell you to seek out the information, and tell you to go on moststopscovid.com. The NFL, they're taking a little bit more of a hardline approach to not being vaccinated. Oh, you can make the decision to not be vaccinated. They're not forcing Cole Beasley to be vaccinated or DeAndre Hopkins to be vaccinated. They are just going to make your life miserable if you don't. And the thing is, some players in the NFL have the freedom to not do it. That's not the case for all of them. If you're Colin Saunders, you need to go get vaccinated. That's what I would tell you if I'm the head coach. I would tell you, you ain't good enough to potentially expose the rest of the team to it. You're not good enough to have this stance. If I'm Colin Saunders, not only am I being vaccinated, I'm heading up the efforts. I'm pointing out other guys on this D-line that might make the team over me that aren't vaccinated. I mean, I don't know if you guys seen Wharton's Twitter or not, but you need to check it out. He's got some pretty wild views out there. The NFL is always going to fall into a couple different categories like most of our jobs. There's the 1%. So Mahomes can do whatever he wants because he's the best player in the league. There's then the secondary players, guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Tyrann Mathieu, that are really good players that also have a certain level of freedom because of who they are. There's always going to be those rank and file players that have to figure it out and have to go get vaccinated. If you're the sixth round pick and you're in danger of missing the team, I'm certainly not giving you any reason to potentially release me. We saw today that a team fired a head coach because he wouldn't get vaccinated. I don't know the whole story. I'm sure that wasn't the only thing, but his decision to not be vaccinated certainly didn't make it much more difficult for them to make that decision.
Well, whether you view today as the starter camp or Tuesday the starter camp, the offseason is essentially over for your Kansas City Chiefs.
This is like the training camp appetizer. This is the training camp appetizer, and then Tuesday is when they really start.
You know what today is? Today is the training camp is the media meal at a new restaurant opening. We all get to eat there before you other people. That's what today is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But whether you view it today or not, it is the end of the offseason. And Carrington, looking back what the Chiefs did or did not do, do you believe the Chiefs defense is in better standing today than it was at this point in 2020?
I don't think the Chiefs defense is any better standing. I think it's the same, which we can have a conversation on whether that's a good or a bad thing. But I think their defense is mostly the same as it was last year. They didn't really add anything major outside of Jaren Reed. They didn't really lose anything major outside of how you view Bashaud Breeland. I think the Chiefs defense has stayed mostly stagnant, and now they're depending on the development of certain players. You're counting on Charvarius Ward to rebound to what he was. You're counting on the drafting of Nick Bolton to give you some instant production at linebacker. You're counting on Alex Okafor to stay healthy this year. You're counting on Frank Clark to bounce back to his old form, what he was in Seattle, now playing alongside his friend Jaren Reed. But they didn't really do anything drastic defensively this year. They certainly did offensively with reshaping and retooling their offensive line. But defensively, this is largely the same group that we saw last season.
Speaking of the defense we largely saw last season, maybe you are a man on an island, but earlier today you looked at the depth chart for both corner and linebacker on this Chiefs roster and had some big concerns. Carrington, are the linebackers and corners a major issue for this Chiefs team, or are you just being corner dot and overreacting?
You remember that scene in The Matrix with like the red or blue pill and you have to make a choice? There's only really two options here. Either I'm crazy or you guys are crazy. That's it. Now I'm going to guess that I'm not the crazy one here, but I'm going to read to you their linebackers projected and their corners. Anthony Hitchens, Willie Gay, Nick Bolton, Ben Neiman, Darius Harris, Dorian O'Daniel. At corner, Charvarius Ward, Legarius Sneed, Mike Hughes, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker, and Bo Pete Keys. On paper, their cornerback group's bad. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Their cornerback group's bad. Their linebacker core has some promise, but their cornerback group on paper is one of the five worst in the NFL. I think that's an issue. I think it's a talking point. I think they should have done more this offseason. But we find ourselves at this place every August, every late July when it comes to their team. So there's only one of two options. Either I'm crazy or you're crazy. But enough people tell me that I'm crazy that really make me start to question if I am crazy or not. But I would invest a little bit more in the corner. I would have kept Bashaud Breeland. I would have handled this offseason a little bit differently. But that is not where we sit with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in just a little bit. But earlier today, we had on Brett McMurphy. He is one of the top college football analysts and insiders, and he works for Stadium.com. So earlier today, he was the one who initially had the report that next week there is an expectation that Oklahoma and Texas are going to officially apply for membership with the SEC. Our conversation with Brett McMurphy started with, how do we get to this point with OU and Texas that now they were openly looking for a new conference to land?
Well, I was told that Texas and Oklahoma and or representatives of Texas and Oklahoma had actually started talks or reached out to the SEC back in December to kind of kick the tires and say, hey, look, if we're leaving the Big 12, would you guys have any interest in us? Those conversations obviously continued over several weeks, over several months. And then it got to the point where the SEC notified all of their presidents that Oklahoma and Texas had an interest in joining the league. And so it's kind of proceeded like that in the past several weeks and in the past few months. And so now we're to the point where Texas and Oklahoma will officially notify the Big 12 of their intentions to leave the league. Why now? Well, they want to do it before the grant of rights expires. And I know that's 4 years away, but the hope is one of two things. One, you stay with the league for the remainder of your contract with the Big 12. That's 4 years, which would be very awkward. Then you can leave. You don't have to pay a penalty. Or you can leave early. And as we've seen in other, when other schools change conferences, Maryland, Rutgers, et cetera, you reach a settlement with your former conference to go join your new conference. And I think if OU, Texas, and the SEC could all three get what they wanted, this thing would take place in 2022. Ultimately, how much that will cost Oklahoma and Texas, ultimately how much the lawyers have to get involved, will determine if it is in 2022 or maybe not until a few years after that.
Right now we're talking to Brett McMurphy, the best college football insider in the game. He works at Stadium Network, talking about Texas and Oklahoma heading to the SEC. This might be a stupid question, so you can stop me at any point. What's the motivation for Texas and Oklahoma outside of money? I'm sure there is a big bag of gold at the end of the rainbow for both of these teams. But if you're Oklahoma especially, you've dominated this league. You've got a clear path to the college football playoff every single year. Where you are, why join another conference and make it a more difficult road for you to get to the college football playoff? Outside of money, what do you think the motivation is for Oklahoma and Texas to make this move?
Hey, that's not a stupid question. You're a college football expert. You nailed it. It's money. That's the number one reason. The number two reason is money. And guess what? Number three is money. But besides that, this is a long-term play. This sets them up for the next 20 to 50 years. They go to a conference that's not going to splinter, that's not going to lose members. They're going to increase their media rights value from approximately $35 or $40 million a year to estimates have them at $60 million a year. So take money out of the equation, and you bring up a good question. Several people have asked me that today. Why does OU leave a conference that they've dominated in and they've won several years in a row? I think the big reason is, take a step back. The college football playoff is going to 12 teams. If you win the Big 12 conference, you're going to be in the college football playoff. If you finish second in the Big 12, there's not necessarily a guarantee you're going to get in. If you finish second in the SEC, if you finish third in the SEC, you are in a 12-team college football playoff. And going back to the previous 7 years of the college football playoff, I actually looked this up. If we had a 12-team format in the past 7 years, three of those years, the SEC would have got four of the 12 teams in the college football playoff. And so I think OU's looking at it that way, that, you know, hey, look, we can still compete for a conference championship. We can go head-to-head with Bama and A&M and LSU and everybody else. But, you know, we don't have to win the championship and still get into the playoff. I don't think that's necessarily the case right now. It's championship or bust as far as the playoff for Oklahoma. But, yeah, you're dead on. Money's the top 10 reasons why they're doing it, but also the secure the school financially and long-term by being in the nation's most powerful conference.
Right now we're talking to Brett McMurphy. He is America's college football insider, doing great work over at Stadium. The question that I think is maybe most relevant locally is, well, what happens to the other eight teams in the Big 12? If you're a team like Kansas, if you're a team like Kansas State, if you're Iowa State, one of the schools that are sort of local here in Kansas City, what do you think is next for those institutions?
It's funny. I text somebody. It was on the Big 12 call yesterday, and I said, do you guys try to add some schools from the Pac-12, Colorado, Utah, the Arizona schools, and beef up your membership that way? Or do you maybe go, and if they're not open to that, do you maybe go and get the best group of five teams, Cincinnati, Boise, BYU, UCF, whoever that group is? Or do you just kind of, does everybody just go out on their own? Kansas is in Iowa State or AAU schools, that's very attractive to the Big Ten. West Virginia, geographically, would be a great fit for the ACC, and they need one member to balance off with Notre Dame if they ever join. Or did that happen? And it was funny, but he responded to me, and he said, all of the above. So they're basically, that's something they've got to figure out. I would guess that the conference will try to stick together. But even if the conference is going to try to stick together, and you guys are in Kansas or near Kansas, if you're Kansas and you get a call from the Big Ten, bye-bye Big 12. I mean, that's the reality. You know what? That sucks. I'm an Oklahoma State grad, so I've got, you know, some skin in this game. But if you're Kansas, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're Iowa State, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're West Virginia, absolutely, you go to the ACC. So I think it depends on if the Big Ten and the ACC reach out to those schools, then the Big 12 implodes, or they just add a bunch of group of five schools. If the ACC and Big Ten does not reach out to those schools, then maybe the Big 12 can stay together by either trying to get some Pac-12 schools, which personally I think is unlikely, or they just try to bulk up the membership by adding some group of five schools. But actually, one conference source told me today, he said, hey, don't be surprised if they just stay at eight schools. You know, let's get out the old Big Eight logos. Because, again, the television rights divided by eight schools would be more money than the television rights divided by 12 schools if those four additional schools are teams like Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, UCF.
Last question here for Brett McMurphy, who covers college football for Stadium. Brett, with everything you're saying, it certainly sounds like we are headed down a path that gets us to four super leagues, that the SEC now is going to have 16 teams. The Big Ten is going to add a couple of members. They'll get to 16 teams. We know how this goes. Once a couple dominoes falls, that means the ACC probably adds Notre Dame as a full member. The Pac-12 gets their teams. Do you think we're headed to a place in college athletics where there's just four absolute superpowers and then none of the other conferences matter?
You know, I think we do, and I hate that that's going to happen, because then I think college football turns into the NFL, and I hate that, but I think you're dead on. That's a very real possibility. The only thing that I would disagree with what you said is I still think Notre Dame stays an independent. They'll be aligned with the ACC and everything but football, but they'll still be in the power grid, if you will. And the Pac-12, maybe they don't get up to 16 just because geography-wise they don't have a lot of options out that way. But yeah, I think we're going to see I think we're going to see four power leagues. I think they're going to split away from the NCAA, create their own, you know, model, govern their leagues the way they see fit, and move on. How that impacts teams not in the power leagues, that's hard to say. Will they still play non-conference games against those guys, or were those schools merged with the smaller FCS schools? You know, again, to your previous question, it's all gonna boil down to how much money is it going to benefit these schools being in these power leagues, and the ones that aren't in the school, how can they stay relevant and make the most money? Is that to merge with smaller schools? That's kind of the unknown, but certainly that's the domino effect of OU and Texas to the SEC.
And that is Brett McMurphy joining us on the show today. He is America's college football insider for Stadium. Brett, great information. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Hey, thanks, guys.
There was a lot there. We'll react to it coming up on the other side. Plus, it is a segment that you control, 913-576-7610. Start texting in your questions. We'll do Ask Us Anything coming up on the other side as well. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I want to play a cut for you guys very quickly. It was from our conversation with Brett McMurphy. If this is what the Big 12 is planning on doing, they should just give up. They should quit. They should go home. This is not fighting for your league. This is not fighting for viability. This is simply giving up.
But actually, one conference source told me today, he said, hey, don't be surprised if they just stay at eight schools. Yeah, let's get out the old Big Eight logos. Because, again, the television rights divided by eight schools would be more money than the television rights divided by 12 schools if those four additional schools are teams like Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, UCF.
That is an awful idea. I don't love the idea of going after Houston or Cincinnati, but it's not a bad idea. If you are hell-bent on continuing to keep the Big 12 moniker, the Big 12 banner, and you think there's enough money and you can add to it by adding a Houston or a Cincinnati, have at it. Add those two teams. I then be worried about fighting to see for inclusion in the college football playoff. And Rob, I want to get your take on this. As long as you have a path to the college football playoff, I actually think you're fine in whatever conference you're in. If they're going to have 12 teams in this new college football playoff model, as long as your conference has a clear path to inclusion, I think you're fine in whatever conference you're in. It doesn't matter if you're in the SEC or the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or the ACC or whatever conference that there is. But let's say that that's what happens. Let's say what Brett McMurphy said. Let's say they don't add Houston and they don't add Cincinnati, which I would say don't really add anything to you from a football perspective, but follow me here. What's their best football program if that's the case? Oklahoma State? Baylor?
Oklahoma State on the macro and the micro of 1 year, probably Iowa State, because they have a good team coming back.
Yeah, I'm talking like, but yeah, like Oklahoma historically.
State. Oklahoma State.
You don't have a chance to the college football playoff then. You don't. If I ask you the SEC, who's their best program? You say Alabama. I ask you the ACC. You give Clemson as the answer. I asked you in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Penn State. I asked you in the Pac-12, USC, UCLA. If your anchor tenant, think about it like a mall, right? This mall over here got Gucci and Fendi and Prada and Hermes and all the high end. Your anchor tenant is Sears. Ain't nothing wrong with Sears. Sears is great. It's going to be really hard to be viable and compete with the perception that this mall is so much more high end, more upscale than your mall is. If the Big 12 is trying to build a conference around Oklahoma State as a football entity, that is a bad idea. There are no more football programs to build around that are not in conferences, not named Notre Dame. This is not a basketball move. Now, the basketball is going to be able to help you if you're Kansas and help you position yourself because it's a viable asset. But Houston does nothing for you from a football perspective. That can't be your anchor tenant. Cincinnati cannot be your anchor tenant. There are no more anchor tenants. They're all in a league. Nebraska could be your anchor tenant. If Oklahoma was just here by itself, that could be your anchor tenant. But you don't have them anymore. So the Big 12 is over. This feels like in the part of the movie where you know it's about to turn, but you just keep fighting it for a little bit longer. It's over. The SEC, the major corporation, came through and they swallowed up your mom and pop store. That's what happened. They took your best employees and they swallowed up your mom and pop, and now you're going out of business. So now your best option is to have a liquidation sale and move on. There is no moving forward if you're the Big 12. I feel bad as someone who lives in Kansas City, as someone who loves Big 12 basketball, as someone who loves the Big 12 tournament. And I don't care if you're a Missouri fan or a K-State fan or KU, or maybe you cheer for Nebraska or Iowa. If you live in this area, you're partial towards Big 8 basketball, partial towards Big 12 basketball. You remember going down to Kemper Arena to watch games in the old Guardian Classic. You remember going to Sprint Center for the first time to watch the Big 12 tournament and how lively Kansas City is for those 3 or 4 days while they're here. That's over. That part will never be the same. They might have the Big Ten tournament here at some point. They probably will. They might have the SEC tournament here at some point. It will be a bunch of schools and a bunch of teams that we don't care about. And I'm a fan of a team in the SEC. I don't care about Mississippi State or Ole Miss or Vanderbilt. I don't have any emotional connection or ties to those teams. What made the Big 12 and the Big 8 felt so special is that we all were connected. We all were in this small little melting pot, and these were teams that were very easy to get to and teams that always made it a point to come to Kansas City. If you cheer for a Big 12 team, let's say you cheer for Kansas. Rob, you probably made the trip to Manhattan at some points, right down the street. You've made the trip to Iowa State, not far from where you are. You've made the trip to Missouri, not far from where you are. You probably made the trip down to Norman, also not very far from where you are. Stillwater, not very far. That it was all these teams in such a small region and proximity, it's what really fueled the conference. That doesn't exist anymore. Unless you live in the southeast part of the country, that doesn't exist anymore. That proximity, that closeness to the rivalry, it's not going to be moving forward. I don't know if all those small Texas schools are going to be in the same league moving forward. Like, I know everybody on the text line is talking about Baylor. I don't know if the fifth school in Texas is landing on its feet. I don't know if Texas Tech is landing on its feet. Texas will. A&M will. I don't know if Waco is really moving it for you. Like, the SEC has no need for Texas Tech. They have no need for Baylor. Does Baylor help the Pac-12? They have such a small market share. They're not a major institution. They're not a big university. Do they really help you? You got to start asking yourself the question of, do you move the needle? Do you matter? And that's a really difficult answer to come to grips with, but that's what we're all facing right now in conference realignment. We have found ourselves in almost the exact same spot. It's funny because, Rob, you and I talked about conference realignment 2 weeks ago, and it was the 10-year anniversary of Nebraska leaving. And now we are in the same place, and it looks like Oklahoma and Texas are going to leave. I would imagine by the end of August, we will have a clear plan of how long Texas and Oklahoma will remain in the Big 12, and I don't think they will be in the Big 12 next football season. I think this is Oklahoma and Texas's last football season in the Big 12. And then you will be forced, if you're the other schools, to make very difficult decisions that, and I would say, ultimately hurt your fan base, but financially will keep you viable and keep you afloat. It is a segment that you control, 913-576-7610. It's time for Ask Us Anything.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can.
Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
The text line is open, 913-576-7610. Ask Us Anything. It is the segment that you control. So I watched recently The Forever Purge. You know how there's some movie franchises, Rob, that you can never quit? Like, you'll never be able to shake it. That's what The Purge is to me. I loved this movie. I loved it in like a bad popcorn movie theater adrenaline kind of way. It was so good. I encourage you to go see The Forever Purge if you're a fan of the series. Are you excited for the Olympics? What's your favorite event? Yes and no. I am excited about the Olympics because of the competition. I'm not excited again to watch sports not in front of people. Like, we just saw the NBA playoffs. The NFL is going to have full attendance. College football is going to have full attendance. Like, we got to go now to watch some sports that I'm not emotionally invested in, and there's no people there. I'm not super excited about that. I love men's basketball. I know I'm the only person that probably puts men's basketball as their favorite thing to watch when it comes to the Olympics, but I will watch every Team USA basketball game. It's like watching the All-Star game, but they're all on the same team and they're trying.
I wouldn't call this year's squad the All-Stars team.
This team's good, though. I know we like to poke fun at this team. This team's good.
I mean, they're not bad, but let's not call them the All-Star game team. Jeremy Grant never starts in an All-Star
game. That's fair. Most of the time, it's the All-Star team, but they're on the same team and they're trying, which I love. I love watching. Someone said, are you getting the new Switch? No, I don't plan on it. I agree with you. Hard pass for me. I wanted more upgrades. I thought it was going to certainly be a bigger upgrade and a boost than it was. I got my Switch for such a great deal. It's going to be hard for me to really justify spending more on it than I did. So I can tell you guys now, it doesn't matter. This was a couple years ago. Target's website was broken. So you could stack 15% coupons on top of each other. And I did like site to store. So Rob, the only thing you couldn't get was you couldn't get an Apple product or a drone. But you could get anything else. So it stacked 7 times. So I got my Switch. It was like 103. So I mean, at that point, I bought it, and I don't really have any interest in upgrading unless it's a major upgrade, because I got such a sweet deal the first time around. Do you have any interest in this M. Night Shyamalan movie?
No. I like concept's interesting, but I don't think it's going to be executed well.
I don't have any interest in it. Like, I won't even watch it on streaming. No interest in watching it on streaming.
I'm mostly the same.
This was a lot of fun. I will be back on Monday. Take care of yourself. I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.